I will be reading Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. So now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Sorted. Wonderful to be together, isn't it? Thank you, Josh, for reading that passage. And as Phil was saying, it was lovely to have stay focused, everyone. It was lovely to have the children and young people in with us, wasn't it? We are the family of God, and that's such a precious reality. Great to hear Joe's testimony as well. Oh, feeling your pain with that Ofsted call. And in a lesser way, the visa. American wives, we have that in common. But it sounds like 25 years ago, our experience was a lot easier than yours. Isn't it good though to hear the reality of the goodness of God at work in our lives? And so nice to see folks here I haven't seen before. Welcome. Everyone's welcome. We just had that short passage there from Ephesians chapter 2. The reason I've chosen to speak on this, and we'll see how it goes by the Lord's grace, he's going to continue talking to us. But the reason I've picked this up, that wasn't the plan. If you were here last weekend, you may remember Dave, our brother Dave, giving a word in the worship time. And part of that was this amazing thought that we're at home in the Lord and that we have a place. And Alan just prayed, didn't he, when we were breaking bread together, sharing communion, that we have a place. And we're coming, if you like, to the table of the Lord. It's a wonderfully rich description of God's amazing grace, that we are called, if you like, right into intimate family relationship with God himself. And it's as if a setting has been laid at the Lord's table for each and every one of us. And much to our amazement, and that's how it should be, this is actually amazing grace. Much to our amazement, we find that he calls us by name and says, before you even had any thought towards me, I'd prepared a place for you. It's not random. It's not, oh, you're going to have to budge up. Something's gone a little bit off-piste here. There's someone trying to get in and I guess we have to be hospitable. No, not at all. This has been, it's just mind-blowing, isn't it? But this has been foreordained and pre-planned and with remarkable detail. A place for you, my friend. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, however bad you feel you might have messed up, a place for you to be at home in your Father's house. This is staggeringly good news, isn't it? And so I'm not quite sure how to put it into words, but Dave spoke a word out last week, and it just hit me When I say hit me, in the most gentle and yet powerful way, I don't know if you found that the gentleness of God is enough to utterly finish you off. Just a look, when you realize you're in the gaze of Jesus, it melts your hard heart. And all our resistances and insecurities and rebellion and whatever it is, this expression of independence from God, it can be melted in a moment, the look of Jesus. And he's the one, can I just say this, I'm feeling a little bit bold, he's the one who's brought you here this morning. Now you've had some choice in the matter, like getting up was probably one of the first conscious ones you had. There's a choice there, isn't there? And we do have choices and we need to, as far as we can, cooperate. But ultimately, God himself has your name on his heart. And he has called you here this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So that passage, the reason I've chosen it is because it wasn't just the word that came through Dave, and then I don't know if you remember, Pete picked it up and talked about, there's a place for us. I found out subsequently in the week, I think it was probably a Tuesday, it was one of the house groups, and our friend Comrade had read out a scripture, and it was that one in the context of that house group. And then I was on the Zoom prayer meeting on Thursday, and we just started, and I'd said, if anyone has anything they'd like to share, please feel free as we come and worship the Lord and pray. And then Gillian, I don't know if you're listening on Zoom, bless you if you are, she then read out this same passage again, Ephesians 2:19-22. She'd been absolutely blown away when Comrade had shared this. Can you see how the Lord works? It's wonderful. Through his body, he whispers his goodies in our ear. And we need to hear him, don't we? So it's come again and again. And when Gillian shared it on Thursday, I'd been praying since last Sunday, Lord, what do you want me, what do you want to say? Not what do you want me to say. What do you want to say? And if by your grace it comes through me, then bless the Lord. And just had this sense of home, having a place. And then it just came thick and fast from one person and another. So here we are again, and Josh has read it out for us. Praise God. Wonderful. I'm just going to read it. I know this might be a bit controversial for some of you, but hold on to your hats. It will all be okay. So Josh read from New King James Version. I don't know how you feel about the message. It's a paraphrase, okay, just so we're clear. But listen, this is the same passage paraphrased. That's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Anyone familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I think Joe will be onto that, educationalist. Don't worry if you're not, but basically there's a hierarchy of human needs that this psychologist Maslow articulated. And a fundamental level of basic need in the human heart is a sense of belonging. And the fragmentation of the human heart and life because of the fall has broken at this very elemental and fundamental level. And we just are not in the right place. The Bible talks about it for Gentiles in this same passage. It talks about being afar off. In other words, lost. And in the context that we're talking about, away, way, way, way away from home. And if you're not convinced that the Lord is trying to say something, and if message was a bit twitchy for you, I've got grace for the moment, 365 devotions for kids to really take it up a notch, okay? So this was, would you believe it? And I don't read this every day. This was yesterday's entry as I was just praying. This is the title of the devotional, A Home for Your Heart. And I'm like, Lord, I think I'm getting the message. Not Eugene Peterson's one particularly, but your one. You're speaking to us. And now my glasses have steamed up somewhat. Chances are you've given very little thought to a home for your heart. You may have a nice warm house for your body to live in. And if you do, by the way, be thankful. That's such a privilege and a blessing. You may even have your own room. And since our move last April on April Fool's Day, I know, I get the irony. Our girls have their own room, which we were really hoping because we were in a two-bed flat and they're getting quite big now, aren't they? So they do, they have their own room. But have you thought about your heart's house? Is your heart warm and safe with God, or is it left out in the world where the night winds blow and the rain soaks it through? A soul left out in the world soon becomes cold. And then listen, it doesn't have to be this way. Our souls don't have to live out in the wet and the cold. It's not God's plan for your soul to wander around lost in the world. God wants you to move out of the cold and move in with Him under His roof. There's plenty of room. At His table, a plate is already set for you. In His living room, a cozy chair is waiting just for you. And He'd like you to live in His home. Why would He want to share His home with you? Simple. He wants to be your Father. So I'm reading these things and Gillian's speaking out on Zoom and Conrad's speaking out to the house group and Dave's speaking out to the church and Pete's picking it up. And we sang last week about blameless, now I'm running home. So the Wren Collective are singing it out and I'm thinking that the Lord seems to want to communicate to each and every one of us. Okay, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to go back in time, briefly, the what's known as the Old Testament. And this is going to be a bit of a whistle-stop tour. So in the Old Testament, if you're familiar with your Bibles, this might ring a few bells. But if you're not, that's fine. There's something known as the Tabernacle. Anyone familiar with the tabernacle? It's quite a big, rich topic, and we're not going to go into too much detail just now. But if, in your own time, you maybe want to look back at this and have a little meditation on it, there's one passage in Exodus chapter 40 and verses 33, 34, 35, and it just says this at the end of verse 33. It says, do you remember Moses? He was quite a significant chap in God's economy and plan. Very reluctant when he was called, by the way. I don't know if you remember that bit. And then it says this, we just cut in. It says, and so Moses finished the work. Full stop, okay? The big moment. Always a big moment with house type jobs when the work is finished, isn't it? So Moses finished the work. And then it says this, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. And guess what? The glory of the Lord filled that place. The glory of the Lord, work is finished, and the glory of the Lord fills, and this is Old Testament, fills that place, fills that tabernacle, fills that place of meeting. The very life and presence of God, it's as if with all his heart he wanted to be there with them. Did you hear that? With all his heart, he wants to be there with them. But obviously, if you're familiar with the grand story of the scriptures, you'll know that there were certain things that were quite significant obstacles and barriers for that to actually be possible. But here we have just this wonderful scripture. Moses finished the work. Does that ring any bells? I'll give you a little clue. It's finished! Praise God. Nice one. If in doubt, the answer is generally Jesus. So Moses finished the work and the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And guess what? Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting. There's a bit of irony. Because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God came down. Bless the Lord, that's the tabernacle. Now I know some of you scholars are thinking, wow, that was skimpy. A little bit superficial. But we dived right into the heart of things there. You need to read a lot that leads up to that point. But there we have it, the glory of the Lord. Twice it comes in those few verses. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay. And then there's the temple, isn't there? You have to zip forward a little bit, but we're still in the Old Testament. And you could go to 2 Chronicles. There are many places you could look, but 2 Chronicles, listen to this. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. Get a sense of volume here, don't you? You get a sense of, wow, this is praise. And we've been praising this morning, haven't we? Oh, for 1,000 tongues. And they all praise the Lord and listen to their theme. So they all praising the Lord. Guess what their theme was? For he is good. For he is good. And what else? His mercy endures forever. Oh, wow. What a wonderful double theme. His goodness and his mercy inextricably linked together. The goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. These are not temporal kind of, depends how the day's going, like Phil was saying, if you get a bad weekend or a beautiful weekend, these things do not go up and down. These characteristics, these attributes of God emanate from him like, and this is a lesser picture, but like the sun shines out its light. That's what the sun does, doesn't it? It doesn't go, bad day, I'm going to take a bit of time off. The sun shines out its light. And that's a lesser light than what we're talking about. This is God. The light of Jesus emanating unceasingly goodness and mercy forever. And this was their theme. They're giving it some, aren't they? Praising and the trumpets and the cymbals and come on. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. And then it says that the house of the Lord was filled. This is the temple now, not the tabernacle. We moved on a little bit. Was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering. Amazing, isn't it? We have our things that we do. And the glory of God comes. That's it. That's all we need. The glory of God. And there's this vision. We have a sense. There's this vision, isn't there? That one day coming. Talk about past, present and future. One day coming, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's just to try and help us understand, again, a lesser picture, the sea. Just, I mean, the water covers that part, doesn't it? Oh, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord fills the temple. And it says they couldn't continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Are you getting a repetitive theme here? So we've just jumped in Exodus, the tabernacle. Just jumped in Chronicles, the temple. Oh, praise Him. We can read this remarkable question in 2 Chronicles 6:18. Will God dwell with men on earth? That's a great question, isn't it? Will God dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. This comes right on the back of that question. How much less this temple I've built. And the temple, if we had the chance to see it, was pretty special. I mean, as houses go, the tabernacle was amazing, wasn't it? If you read all about the detail of it, the temple. Solomon says, behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. And he speaks the truth there. He's speaking the truth about almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. How can this temple, and it was pretty good, wasn't it? How can this temple contain you? This temple which we've built, a house for you. And then you go next chapter, 2 Chronicles 7, when Solomon had finished, did you hear that again? When Moses had finished, when Solomon had finished, in here it's praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and listen, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wow. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. I feel Christmas is coming. Sorry. Josh, you had a Christmas thing in your Bible. I noticed that. Don't tell anyone. It's a little early. But glory to God in the highest. But you know what? We hear in the Old Testament, we see the great heart of God to come down and to dwell and fill and be with. So wonderful. How is this possible? It's the same answer as what you said before. Any guesses? Jesus. Nice. Well done. Appreciate the participation. And you're absolutely right. 100%. Jesus. We can read, we won't go there right now, I'll just mention it, but in Hebrews 3 it talks again about Moses as being faithful in his house, and then it talks about Christ as son over his own house. And then it says this beautiful little phrase, and we can almost miss it if, you know, we're running for the bus. Whose house are we? Christ as a son over his own house. And then it says, referring to the house, whose house are we? Wow. Tabernacle, temple. We seem to have taken a significant downturn. I mean, from the tabernacle to Solomon's temple, we're it's like a step up the ladder in a sense, if you want to think of it. And then we. Described in the New Testament in fairly earthy terms, clay pots. Earthen vessels. Wow. Whose house are we? How is this possible? Yes, absolutely, Jesus. Jesus said this in John 2. In answering, often he says some amazing things in answer to people's questions. So it's okay to ask the deep questions, isn't it? Have you noticed that? Some of the wonderful truths come from the mouth of Jesus in response to questions from ordinary people. And sometimes the motivation of the question isn't always bang on, it would seem. But the truth seems willing to unveil himself and reveal himself in response to the questions of lost humanity. And in this case, in John 2, Jesus answers and says, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews, clearly not fully getting it. We don't, do we, at times, all of us. The Jews, kind of fairly literal approach. It's taken 46 years to build this temple. And you will raise it up in 3 days. I mean, that is a significant restoration building project, isn't it? 3 days. Wow, 46 years to build, knock it down, get it back up in 3 days. I mean, that is rapid levels of improvement. And Jesus just understands them. He must just be taking it all in, and it just has this comment, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. So here, we jumped ahead, didn't we? Whose house we are. So we've gone tabernacle, temple, us. Actually revealed here, the one. Oh, the glory of heaven. The Holy One, the one and only, the Saviour of the world, the Merciful One, the one who's able to forgive sins, and he's willing to do it. In fact, it seems like he absolutely delights to do so. This one, and you probably have lots of phrases and names that you want to speak out to him because of the unique way he's come to you and graced your life with his love. This one comes, says, "I'm the temple of God." Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. Glory to him. So we can read in John 14. Oh, bless you, Anne. John 14. Listen to this, so intimate. He's called some rough and readies, hasn't he? A whole mixture. There's tax collectors and fishermen and all kinds of potential conflict situations. I do a bit of teamwork in the council, and oh my, if I looked at this motley crew, I'd be thinking, woo, not even Belbin's team roles can help you. It seems as if Jesus, with a wry smile, chooses us on purpose. Did you ever think of that? And we're all going, no, bad move, no, the personality clashes, ooh, I can see that one coming a mile off. And the Lord is like, yeah, but didn't you get, it's all about grace. And I love to set people together. And it's not too long before you realise all over again, oh yes, we need the grace of the Lord, don't we? You need the grace of Jesus to deal with me. Let's just say it plainly. We need the grace, don't we? To deal with ourselves. Never mind interpersonal relationships. But this is a wonderful plan the Lord has. And listen to what he says to these dear friends of his. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you ever feel troubled? You can just answer that quietly in your own heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Rooms, abodes. He's talking home here. This is the language of home. And he says, oh, my Father's house, you are not going to believe it. But I want you to. Oh, my Father's house. And then he speaks of this, and it touches what we did as we broke bread, this future aspect. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's explicit and specific, isn't it? He is talking to them. I'm convinced with eye contact. Oh, troubled ones. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Sorry, Phil, you too. He's like, look, why did he point? I'm not going to go around everyone, but you get the point. The Lord is here and he's looking at you, my friend, you. Somehow he has that capacity to be able to look at each one of us as if we're the only one in the room. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I mean, this is really unpacking this whole theme of the glory of God filling the tabernacle and the temple. Jesus is unpacking this in the most intimate relational terms. A place for you, preparing. And I want you to be with me. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then we have another one of those classic questions. Jesus just said all this, and then Thomas just goes, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Sort of jumps in with, I really don't understand what's... I don't. And the Lord, oh wonderful, says this most famous of verses in response to Thomas's question. How good is that? Your honest question might open up truth for countless others to benefit from. We don't have to pretend we've got it all sewn up and it's okay, you know, I don't understand. Why? How? That question. We have this. Jesus answers Thomas's question. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Oh, bless the Lord for that. And bless the Lord for Thomas's honest question. And you just sit forward. I told you it'd be a whistle stop. John 14. We're still in John 14, but this phenomenal verse comes in in that chapter, verse 23. We have this thought, and it's just absolutely mind blowing in the context of what we've been thinking about. Again, Jesus answers. So there's this dialogue. Jesus answers and says to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him." And listen to this. And we, so Jesus is speaking, he says, and we, that is Jesus and the Father, will come to him, get this, and make our home with him. So we're talking absolutely what's happened past. We're talking present and we're talking future. He's going to prepare a place at the beginning of John 14. And now he's talking about he's going to prepare that place. But you know what? He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. And he's talking about the glory of the Lord coming and filling the temple. What has been a rich theme throughout the scriptures. He is saying, I'm going to go. In fact, he says it's necessary for me to go in order for this to happen. I'm going to come. We will come. Father, Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and make our home in you. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think, I mean, what is more wonderful? That we can be at home in God? Or that He can be at home? I mean, it almost sounds like you don't, almost dare say it. That He could be at home in us? What's more wonderful? That's a tricky question, isn't it? At home in God, God at home in us. Sometimes people have tried to explain this by talking about a bottle thrown into the ocean and filled. And so the bottle is entirely filled, isn't it, with the water. But the bottle's absolutely surrounded and in the water. It's a poor analogy. But somehow, this is the wonder of it. This has been made possible through Jesus by the mouth of two witnesses here this morning. Wow. Glory to His name. We are talking doctrine here, but in a sense we're not talking doctrine as in let's dot our I's. I was doing ticks there, I was back at school for a minute. Dot our I's and cross our T's and this is what we sign up to. This, I don't even know how to express it. Can I just say, testimony wise, I thank God. We were talking about this as elders the other day and I was trying to express what I'm feeling. Listen, by God's grace, sometimes I feel like I couldn't be more filled. And yet there's a deep hunger and thirst to be filled. Do you know what I'm talking about? We sang it, we taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. Embrace the tension, my friends. There's more. I thank God for every filling, but I don't want to just tick a box and say, such and such a date. I believe the Lord came and filled my life. Wonderful though that is. Today. And we're here, aren't we? We're here in the now and the not yet. We're looking for glory coming. There's a day coming, my friends, that is going to blow this whole world out of the water. He's coming. He is coming again. And He's got big plans and purposes to fully outwork and consummate the great, wonderful, blessed, redemptive, cosmic plan of God. Today, here we are now. This is the now. The not yet, we're reaching. The light is shining brighter and brighter. It says that, doesn't it? The just. Glory to His name. But what about right now? There's a few minutes before we close this particular meeting. Let's take the opportunity. With all my heart, God is calling to us. We should be a filled people. Uncontainable. Do you hear where I'm coming from? He's calling us home. And from that place of ultimate rest and assurance and acceptance and belonging, we can move out in the power of the Holy Spirit to a lost and broken world. He's calling us to know these fundamentals, accepted in the Beloved, it says in Ephesians. Glory to his name. Shall we pray? Who wants to be filled? Could I just ask that? I do, with all my heart. Well, I mean, what do we do? We turn with all that we know how to the one who is and always has been the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one who floods his people with the unsearchable riches of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless his name. Well, if we do, and you can stand if you want. You don't have to. You can just stay seated. You can reach out your hand, in a sense, as you see fit. But we are coming to the only one, the only hope. Amen. Amen. Let's just close our eyes, shall we, and pray. We're going to close the meeting in a moment, but this is an opportunity, isn't it? Glory to you. Lord, you see our hungry hearts. And you have already made full and perfect provision and a place for each and every one of us. Lord, you see us all with perfect clarity, but somehow you're not looking at us as a crowd. But you see each heart, and you know exactly what's brought us to this place. And even this morning, Lord, we recognize this is a place you've prepared for us ahead of time, and here we are. So Lord, with all our hearts, we respond to you. We lift up our hands to you. We reach out to you. We open up wide, and by simple faith we say, Lord, come and fill your temple. Come and fill your waiting people. Pour in and flow out to your glory, Lord. It's your glory. It's all about your glory, Lord. We lift our heads and behold you by faith, our glorious King. Praise your wonderful name. May there be a great flowing, Lord, among us of your life, in and through. Oh, praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Work it out, Lord. Thank you that you work it in and you work it out. Glory to your wonderful name, even in the face of impossibility for some, Lord. You are able to work it out, Lord. You bring us to it and you are able to bring us through it as well, Lord. Glory to your name. Speak in every heart, Lord. Speak. You speak, Lord, to every heart and draw us out after you. At home in you and you at home in us. Oh, Lord, what bliss. Praise your wonderful name. Amen.